faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, welcome. Dr. John Whitcomb's going to join us for Ask Dr. John. We've got your questions together, and we're going to try to answer them the best we can. And then, of course, we'll open up the phone lines. But first, I have exciting news. It happened sooner than I even thought. I wasn't expecting this to happen until February. But I got word today from our computer guy that the Android app is now available. So if you would like to get the Android app and listen to this show, along with Noise of Thunder and Crosstalk and Dr. Randy White and a bunch of other shows on demand, you can take them and go on the demand with them. You can now get the Android app for your phone. We already have the iPhone app out, but you can get the Android app now for free. All you got to do is go over to https://market.android.com. So you just go to market.android.com. Again, that's market.android.com. That'll bring you to their homepage. Top right-hand corner, just type in WVW space radio. Hit return, as I'm doing right now, and there it is, right there. Install. You can just click install. Brings you right to it. It's free. Shows you what it's all about. Says updated January 17th. Well, that's today. So it was just put up today. We're excited about it. So, again, a lot of you are on Android. You're asking, hey, when's the Android app going to be ready? And like I said, I didn't expect it till February. It's always nice when people promise something and it happens sooner, right? So there it is. You just go to market.android.com and you can download it free. Tell your friends about it, won't you? You'll also find it at our Facebook page right now, at least for the next few hours. Those of you log in a couple days from now, see it on down the page. But right now, it's available to you to look at on our Facebook page for free. And when you log in there, we're also going to put a link to it on the right-hand side of our website, worldviewweekend.com, along with the iPhone app. So right now, though, the best place to find it would be just to go to market. Quit it. Hey, you're not supposed to be barking during the show. You're supposed to be sleeping. Market.android.com. Market.android.com. Let's see now. What else has I got? Oh! I'm really excited about this. Now, Maybe I shouldn't even tell you about this right now because I don't know that I'm going to be able to get it done and how soon it'll be. But I'm going to get this done. At least I hope we're going to get this done. And what am I talking about? The new technology out there that is known as, I don't even know if I'm going to say this right, ROKU, R-O-K-U, ROKU. I went into Best Buy. Shouldn't say that. I don't want to promote any retail store. I went into a retail. I already did. Someone gave me a gift card for $75. And so I walked in there and I said, what is the hottest new device, you know, technological device? And this guy said, you need to come over here. It's $79, I think he said. I said, okay, I can put it in $4. I got a gift card for $75. And he said, it's called ROKU. I said, huh? He said, yeah, it's a little box. You go home, you plug it into your TV. You then hook it to your wireless internet, and you can watch all kinds of programs, many of them, most of them for free, off of the internet, but onto your computer. And so I thought, oh, I bet you I could watch, you know, some of my favorite teaching programs like John MacArthur right there on my TV on demand. And sure enough, got home, plugged it in, checked it out. It was really simple to set up. And yes, some of the things you would have to go and purchase as a membership, but there are things on there that are free. And one of them I found were a lot of religious programming. Bye. See, if you'd laid down and be quiet, you could have stayed. Like the Mormon Channel. You can watch the Mormon Channel. Woohoo. Of course, TBN is on there. But I did find some other programs on there that looked like they might have been pretty good. But pretty soon, we hope to have the Worldview Weekend Channel. And you'll be able to click on it, and you're going to be able to stream right onto your computer. Right onto your TV, all of our DVD clips, Worldview Tube clips that you can watch on computer right now. You'll be able to watch on a TV. We're also going to set it up where you can just listen to this radio show on demand on your TV. So as you're moving around the house, you can hear it. But we also are going to try to set it up so that if you're a member of the Situation Room, you can actually log into your Situation Room account on your television through this little device you buy, and you'll be able to watch our TV shows and everything on a big old television. So you'll just be accessing the Situation Room through your TV. Now, that is cool. That is really cool. Now, I'm hoping that, and I'm going to send an email over to one of my friends that works for John MacArthur and actually runs Grace to You. I'm going to send him an email today because I haven't found the John MacArthur channel yet, the Grace to You channel. I'm going to send him an email today telling him he needs to get one because that would allow me and you to go on there and watch John MacArthur on demand whenever we want. I see other guys up there. Most of them, I wouldn't give you a dollar, a nickel to watch. It's, you know, they're false teachers, some of them, but this is really neat that you can watch some good Bible teaching if these ministries will get on board and do this on demand on your TV. That's really coming off of your computer. So anyway, we knew this technology was coming. I just didn't realize it was already here. That's really why we started Christian Worldview Network, Worldview Tube, all these things back in 2006, because we knew this was coming. Well, it's here, and we're pretty excited about all the opportunities for that. So we'll let you know about that. But the big news for today is there is now an app for Android. So iPhone, Android are two big platforms. We're not going to work with any other platforms because we're told that's really not worth it. But Android and iPhone, we now have apps. You can take this show, Crosstalk, Noise of Thunder, and many others with you wherever you go. So hope you'll check it out. All right, the technology is something. All right, a guy who's certainly seen technology advance is my friend Dr. Whitcomb. Dr. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a joy to be with you today again.
You've seen the technology really grow during your lifetime, haven't you?
Oh, my. When I was born, they were just rejoicing in a telephone.
And then what else shocked you? In all your years, what technology did you say, I can't believe this is happening?
Well, of course, we're all still amazed that we were able to put men on the moon and bring them back alive. I've talked with one of them personally and corresponded with another one, and those 12 men who walked on the moon, I could never have believed such a thing would be possible.
Yeah. Which one did you talk to?
Well, Jim Irwin.
That's what I was guessing. He
lectured around the world about God's great power and glory, and another one, Charles Duke, wrote to us. We sent a copy of our book on our created moon to every one of the 12 astronauts who had walked on the moon, and he said, since I have come back to Earth, I've acknowledged Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Praise God.
That's for sure. All right, well, we have a stack of questions, so we'll get to it. Here's the first one. I've been listening to your, and by the way, folks, if you want to get a pen and paper in a few minutes, I'm going to give you all the websites for Dr. Whitcomb. He's not afraid of the technology either. I mean, he's on Sermon Audio and Facebook, so we'll give you those if you want to get a pen and paper. I'll give you those in just a minute. First question. I've been listening to your very informative radio programs. Well, thank you very much. I've heard you say several times that the only way Jesus speaks to us is by his word. In my experience, I often know what paths to take by what I thought was the Holy Spirit's guidance. Sometimes he uses others to speak to me or TV or radio. My question always are answered in many ways. I'm not doubting you. I just would like some scripture to back it up. I hear him in many ways. Like I said, just started listening to you, and maybe I'm missing something. Okay, well, we believe God speaks from the Word. We believe the Holy Spirit convicts us, brings things to our remembrance, helps us to understand and remember the scripture that we've learned, the things we've studied. But an audible voice? No, I don't see that in the scriptures after the apostolic age. Not an audible voice, but scripture speaks to us. And as my friend Justin Peters says, if you want to hear God speak to you, then read the Bible out loud. And you can do that. What say you, Dr. Whitcomb?
Well, that's certainly true. Of course, all these things are true in one sense. Of course, he speaks to us through friends or TV or radio, that's what we're doing right now. But the point is, if it is not in true harmony, that message, with the written word of God, we're really in trouble. In fact, we're told in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, if anyone adds to or subtracts from God's word, it'll have eternal consequences. And I've decided not to do that. In fact, how about this one? Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, able to judge, discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. No creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Bible, of course, is God's word written by the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years through 40 writers. And the Spirit of God only speaks in harmony with His Word, never in contradiction to it, never separate from it. So I'm not absolutely sure what this person means by this question, but obviously the Word of God is the absolute standard, measuring stick, by which we're to understand truth about the Lord, salvation through the grace of God, by His atoning work on the cross, His resurrection from the dead. And only in the written Word do we find authoritative statements like that by which we can be saved and by which we are sanctified day by day.
So if someone says, well, God spoke to me through your radio show, that might be kind of a sloppy way of saying it. What they really are trying to say in a more lengthy, detailed way, accurately, would be, as you taught the Word of God in context, God's Word spoke to me.
Right. Amen. I trust that that may be true even today, that some people will be encouraged, even convicted of sin, and find confidence and assurance in the finished work of Christ through what we're saying today.
Amen. All right, here's one. I'm going to have Jimmy DeYoung deal with this on Friday as well. This is a very sincere guy. His email is quite lengthy, and he said, look, I'm not being argumentative. I really like your program, and I'm learning a lot. Can you have you help me understand one thing? And so it was a very gracious email, but he's asking a very good question and one that others have actually sent us. I want to have you address it if you would like to, and then we'll also deal with it with Jimmy DeYoung on Friday, and that is this. He says, my wife listens to you and likes you and put me on your email list. I agree with much that I have seen and heard, but I really feel that your dispensational eschatology totally undermines everything you do. Check your history. In the early 1800s in England, Edward Irving was given a book on the end times written by the Jesuit Manuel Lacunza. Irving had it translated and started promoting the views of this Jesuit. In turn, influenced many, including John Nelson Darby. It was Darby's view that Scofield made famous through his Scofield Bible. How can you say that what you say about the Roman Catholics and Jesuits and then promote a view of the Bible that came from the same place? Tommy Ice, by the way, emailed that to him. He sent me scores of articles about that in a PDF addressing this issue in several papers. So I know we can point them to Tommy Ice's website on this as well. What say you, Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes, this has been greatly misunderstood. John Nelson Darby was a godly man who had over and over through many years, he was from England, traveling, lecturing in America and other countries, and he had a profound understanding, appreciation for the Bible. It's very clear now, and I have a book in front of me that shows this, published by an English scholar called For Zion's Sake, Christian Zionism and the Role of John Nelson Darby by Paul Richard Wilkinson. He shows this whole accusation that Darby learned secretly all these truths about the pre-trib rapture and so forth and dispensationalism from a Jesuit and through Edward Irving and woman who had dreams or visions or something.
Let's deal with that when we come back, because I don't want to rush you with the music playing. Come back and have you set that back up and talk about some of this misrepresentation of this whole view. Very good question. I appreciate the man that sent it to us, because several of you have actually sent this to us over the last few months. It's a great question. We'll deal with it more with my friend Dr. Whitcomb, and we come back, give you all of his websites. So get a pen, won't you? We'll be right back. It's time to register for the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri, April 27, 28, and 29. We have family rates and we have group rates. Again, the Branson Worldview Weekend is Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, April 27, 28, and 29. Full details are available at worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. Keynote speakers include Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Mike Gendron, myself, Brandon House, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, backed by popular demand, Dr. David Noble. We'll also have with us Justin Peters, Chris Pinto of Noise of Thunder Radio, and Dr. Jerry Vines. Full details, video clips, all can be found at worldviewweekend.com. We also have there the hotels that we recommend. Again, this is the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend, April 27, 28, and 29. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. Don't forget, we do have family rates and group rates. Join us, won't you? in Branson, Missouri, April 27, 28, and 29 for the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. I'm pleased to announce the launch of the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is over 85 hours of biblical worldview training for students or adults. Now, this Worldview Weekend Online Academy is completely different from our online Teacher Training Institute. The Teacher Training Institute is for those who want to become an approved Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor and receive the curriculum. This course, however, the Worldview Weekend Online Academy, is 85 hours of intense biblical worldview training for students or adults who want to have a more accurate biblical worldview. Some families cannot afford the $600 to $1,000 plus the cost of transportation that many of these worldview camps cost. But Worldview Weekend, which is committed to biblical worldview training for many people at a very reasonable price, has now launched the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. It's only $149. We even offer a family rate and a group rate that gets the tuition down as low as $75 a student. This is a wonderful course for not only a family, but for a homeschool co-op, Christian school, Sunday school classes. In fact, church youth groups, I believe, should send all their kids through this training. If you want to take it as an individual, you can do that as well. It's for students or adults. Full details, and you can demo the course at worldviewweekend.com/academy. worldviewweekend.com/academy. Again, worldviewweekend.com/academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is now online. Back. Glad you're with us. It's Worldview Weekend Radio. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. Let me give you the websites real quick for Dr. Whitcomb. Here they are. SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb. And make sure you're spelling Whitcomb, W-H-I-T-C-O-M-B. SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb. Also, Facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries. Facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries. And then his website is WhitcombMinistries.org. WhitcombMinistries.org. I'll get that out again in just a few minutes. Hope some of you took it down and we'll mark those as favorites. All right, we went to the break. Dr. Whitcomb, we were getting ready. You were getting ready here to answer this question from a listener about the misconception that seems to be going around. And again, Tommy Ice has sent me several articles on this. So I think you'll find some of this, folks, if you just type in Tommy Ice and the Pre-Trib Center. Tommy Ice and the Pre-Trib Center. I think you'll find a lot of articles on this if you put it into a search engine, because he sent me PDFs of several articles knocking this down. We'll get into it more with Jimmy DeYoung on Friday. But the listeners wanting to know, did this whole idea of dispensationalism or the pre-trib rapture actually come from a Jesuit? You want to pick up where we left off before the music started there, Dr. Whitcomb?
Right. Here was a Jesuit who also had Jewish background, and he discovered, to his amazement, that God does have a plan for Israel. He was not following replacement theology, which is typical of Roman Catholicism, that says God is through with Israel forever. The church has replaced Israel. No. The Bible is so clear, it's not a matter of where he picked up this idea or that idea, that is Darby. But what does the Bible say? And, of course, as you read Romans 11, and I have a reference to one great British theologian who wrote a commentary in Romans 11. He said, I am ashamed that I did not recognize that God really meant what he said about Israel. Listen to this. Paul said, Romans 11, verse 25, I do not want you to be, brethren, uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial, watch that, partial hardening has happened to Israel, not total. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus all Israel will what? All Israel will be saved. Not the church, Israel. And from the standpoint of the gospel, yes, they are enemies for your sake, Paul wrote to those Roman Christians. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom God made unconditional promises of their destiny on this earth. Why? For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be canceled or revoked. And I say, well, Lord, help me to realize that the reason why Israel was cut off from the tree of blessing, that's the earlier part of Romans 11, was because they did reject the Lord Jesus. But even he said to them, you'll never see me again until what? Till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Old Testament and the New Testament as well have many, many passages telling us that God someday will bring that nation back to himself. That's primarily through the two witnesses that he will send, one of whom, of course, is Elijah. And I say, Lord, help me to realize that it doesn't make any difference what Darby thought or what he, who, from whom he learned this or that or what others have. It's what have you said about the destiny of Israel. That's why we call our position dispensational eschatology. In other words, God has a distinct, separate program for Israel that is not the same as his program for the church. And when the church is removed from this earth by rapture, then what? He begins his amazing work on earth through Israel that will turn to him and take the message to the ends of the earth, the 144,000 missionaries. And we just are amazed. I've written a book on this called The Rapture and the Great Tribulation and the Millennium. And I just feel, friends, we need to be careful not to accuse anybody of something that we haven't compared with what the Bible actually teaches on these amazing subjects.
And when you say that the whole nation of Israel will be saved, that's because those will be those Christians who became, those Jews who became Christians and then went into the millennium. So that's how the whole nation is saved.
That's right. All Israel will be not only the Jews, but their proselytes from Gentile nations. And the book of Revelation, of course, as well as Daniel chapter 9 and other passages, Jesus in Matthew 24, Olivet Discourse, makes this clear. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, Jesus said, get out, flee from Jerusalem. Now that has nothing to do with the church. That's after the church is gone, God will introduce Israel once again as his exclusive instrument to reach the Gentile world for Jesus the Messiah.
All right, here's another question. Who was Jesus praying? Well, let me go back real quick before I get to the third question, because another question came up on my own mind while you were talking. Why, you know, I don't get dogmatic on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, all millennial. I don't get dogmatic with people on that. I mean, we have listeners on our broadcast who do not agree with, you know, pre-trib theology, and that's fine, and they endure this, and they listen, and we just don't spend a lot of time on it because we understand there are differing views on it and good people can disagree. This is not, to me, I don't believe this is an essential Christian doctrine. Am I wrong in saying eschatology is not an essential Christian doctrine?
It's hard to know what doctrines are essential in the mind of God. I prefer to take no chances and believe everything the Bible teaches. And
okay.
You know what? One liberal theologian who wrote a book on Holy Scripture said we need to reaffirm Scripture, now he was a liberal, as the unerring rule for faith and practice, but we must avoid the hermeneutics of biblical literalism, which leads us into both scientific creationism with its young earth theory and dispensationalism based upon literal fulfillment of all biblical prophecy. He says, let's not take the Bible literally. Well, how else do we take it? Does each man decide what it means? I have an excellent book on this called Evangelical Hermeneutics by Robert Thomas, that is a beautiful description of how what happens when you don't take God for what he really meant by what he said.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that eschatology is a serious doctrinal issue.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, brother, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about what? Sanctification and what? Faithfulness to the whole counsel of God, which we aim at throughout our whole life.
Okay, so what you're saying now then is maybe closer to what I was trying to say, and you did a better job of it, is that if someone doesn't agree with the pre-trib position, that's not going to get them, keep them from getting into heaven.
That's absolutely right. Praise God. We're saved by the grace of God, and I wonder how much eschatology the thief on the cross knew when Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today.
He also didn't have time to join a church or get baptized, did he?
No.
Not that those things aren't important, but that's not what our salvation hinges on. Okay, who was Jesus praying to when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They want to know, was it the Father or to the Word who had forsaken him for those 3 hours of darkness? Was there a potential for Jesus Christ to sin? Could he have sinned? Was it Jesus, the man who bore our sins, or was it the Word who bore our sins? Well, that's a good question.
Well, of course, there is no difference in the Bible between the Word and Jesus. Because the first couple of verses of the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word. But listen to this. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now that, of course, means that there's more than one person who's God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the third person. So Jesus is the Word. Now, whenever you see Jesus referred to, and then it says, and also God, God means who? His Father. So when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's speaking to his Father. Now, that's a quote, of course, from Psalm 22:1, to which I think the Lord Jesus was calling the attention of everyone as the passage that describes his crucifixion a thousand years earlier. That is an amazing connection when you look at Psalm 22 and what Jesus experienced on the cross when he cried out the cry of dereliction. Why did God forsake him, that is his Father? Because Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. That's the whole message of Isaiah 53 and many, many passages of the wonderful Word of God.
Excellent. By the way, folks, if you would like to ask a question but you don't want to call in, because only a small percentage of people actually call into a radio show. Did you know that? Just some people just don't want to do it, or they can do it. They're in a work setting or whatever. They're driving a car, and they don't want to be on a cell phone, or they're operating heavy equipment, and they don't want to be on a cell phone. So if you but of course, if you're driving or operating heavy equipment, you won't be able to do this either. But if you would like to email us, or not say emails, Facebook us, you can actually Facebook a question. Actually, some of you communicate with me during the radio program by Facebook, and occasionally I will answer even right while we're on the air to someone back on Facebook. So if you have a question you'd like to post, you can go to our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com, type in Brannon House, B-R-A-N-N-O-N-H-O-W-S-E. We're the one with over 11,000 members, so that's the one you want to look for if more than one pops up. I don't know who else is under my name, but anyway, that's the one you want. And you could post a question, and we'll ask it of Dr. Whitcomb even right on the air through our Facebook page if you'd like to do that, Facebook.com, and then just type in Brannon House, and we'll answer your question. Otherwise, in a minute, we'll open up the phone lines and let you get on board. But till then, let me go and ask a few more that folks have emailed in. And by the way, if you want to email your question for Dr. Whitcomb, for Ask Dr. John, you can do that by emailing us info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com, and just put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. If you'll do that, then we'll add your question to the list of questions, and we have him on about every other Tuesday. Every other Tuesday, we have on Dr. John. So you can just email us your question, put in the subject line again, Ask Dr. John, put in your question, email it to us at info@worldviewweekend.com. All right, here's another question, Dr. John. I, too, have started this year with the John MacArthur Study Bible, but did not get past the first page of the Bible. And down in the footnotes, he states that Scripture does not support a creation earlier than 10,000 years ago. After attending Branson Worldview Weekends and listening to Dr. Ron Carlson so many years, he says 6,000 years. She's right, or this, I don't know if it's a he or she, but the person is right. Dr. Carlson would say that there is no scientific evidence. There is no scientific evidence that the Earth is any older than 6,000 years. So this person, he or she, says, I'm confused. That is a difference of 4,000 years. Please ask Dr. Whitcomb about this. So some, like Dr. MacArthur in his footnotes, are saying that the Earth is no older than 10,000, doesn't support a creation earlier than 10,000 years ago. Dr. Carlson puts it at saying no scientific evidence that the Earth is any older than 6,000. So she's saying, hey, 4,000 years makes a big difference. What say you, Dr. Whitcomb?
Well, this is a very interesting question, which, by the way, I dealt with at length in the final chapter of our book, The Genesis Flood, 40 years ago with Henry Morris. I believe that we need to be careful because Old Testament genealogies are not necessarily chronologies. Now, here's the example. Look at the first verse of the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you didn't know your Old Testament, you'd think that Abraham was his grandfather. No, there's 1,000 years between each name. Now, I'm not saying there's 1,000 years between all the names in genealogies. But it is, I've written a lengthy paper on this also in recent days that may be of interest to some, to show that yes, creation was at least 6,000 years ago, not less than that, but certainly not more than 8, 9, or 10. So I say, thank you, Lord. This has nothing to do with evolution. It has to do with how we handle the genealogies of the Word of God.
And then maybe also when we come back from the break, you can give us a few examples, because where Dr. Carlson says there's no scientific evidence that the Earth is any older than 6,000 years, perhaps you could give us some scientific evidence that shows the a young Earth. And then also, someone has put in on Facebook and asked a question, can Satan read our minds and our thoughts? We'll get to that in a minute, and you can, again, ask a question on our Facebook page, or in a minute, you'll be able to call in and ask a question, either one. We'll be right back with Dr. Whitcomb. I hope you'll join us for one of our Worldview Weekend rallies coming up in 2012. Our calendar currently consists of the following free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies: Tyler, Texas on Friday night, February 17th, Dallas, Arlington, Texas, Saturday night, February 18th, Houston, Texas, February 19th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 4th, Dayton, Ohio, March 31st, Indianapolis, Indiana, April 1st, St. Paul, Minneapolis, April 15th, and then we finish out the spring with Branson, Missouri, April 27 and 28 and 29. For the fall, we've already marked these as cities we're going to go to. We may add a few more. We'll start out the fall October 7th in Mitchell, South Dakota at the Corn Palace. Wichita, Kansas, October 12th. Des Moines, Iowa, October 13th. St. Paul, Minneapolis, October 14th. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Saturday night, November 17th. Rockford, Illinois, November 18th. That's our current Biblical Worldview Weekend Rally schedule for 2012. They're free and they're one night. They're for students and they're for adults. Full details or to register and print out your free ticket, the website's worldviewweekend.com. Worldviewweekend.com. If you agree with what we're doing as we teach people a biblical worldview, then we ask you to consider becoming a partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. You can do so at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org, and help us as we put on biblical Worldview Weekend rallies free of charge all across America. Again, the foundation website's worldviewweekendfoundation.org, but to register for the free Worldview Weekend rallies, the website's worldviewweekend.com. Thank you. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to become a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor. For the last couple of years, we've offered our Worldview Weekend Teacher Training Institute live in person in Memphis, Tennessee. Over 500 people have taken that class. However, due to the cost of hotel and transportation added to the cost of the class, it was just financially impossible for some people to afford it. Therefore, we've now placed it online, making it much more affordable. If you want to become a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor, the website is simply worldviewweekend.com/online training. That's worldviewweekend.com/online training. Take the 25 hours of training by watching a video in one window and filling out a worksheet in the other. And upon completion of the Training Institute online, we'll send you the 3-ring binder of the curriculum, Put Your Beliefs to the Test. It includes student worksheets, leader's notes, PowerPoint, and video clips. You'll also, as an alumni, have the right to purchase our next set of curriculum coming out, which includes Grave Influence. And then after that, the curriculum, Religious Trojan Horse. I hope you'll consider, and prayerfully consider, becoming a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor by taking our class online at worldviewweekend.com/online training. We have all the information there for you, including the opportunity for you to sample the online training. worldviewweekend.com/online training. Welcome back to the program. Mark your calendar, won't you? Here in another few days, we'll have available for you to register online for the Worldview Weekend online rally for 2012. Over 50,000 computers streamed our Worldview Weekend rally last year, and we're offering it again this year. And you might want to go ahead and talk to your family and friends and pastor about the idea of our Bible study leader, our homeschool co-op leader, our Christian school Bible study teacher, or whoever else it is that maybe could help you organize a group, and you guys can watch the Worldview Weekend online rally. Again, most of the technology is there today to plug your computer into TV, flat screen TV, and watch it online. Some of you do that. Some hook it to a projector and do that. And so we're excited to have the Worldview Weekend online rally again in 2012, and we're going to make it available for the month of February and March for 2 months. Last year we did it in one night. This year we're going to offer it for the whole month of February and March, so you can fit it around your schedule And then we're taking those thousands of computers and stretching it out, streaming over 2 months instead of one night, which will definitely take care of any bandwidth issues. We're also going to put it up as four one-hour files, and then you can pull them up in small files. That'll also help with streaming, and then you can stretch it out and maybe have a Worldview Weekend online rally at your church or in your home or Christian school or homeschool co-op or Bible study four times, maybe four Sunday nights, four Wednesday nights. Again, details will be coming in the next day or so at worldviewweekend.com, and we'll be presenting The Coming Persecution of Christians in the West by John Loeffler, Components of the Religious Trojan Horse by myself, Dr. Ron Carlson, Why Mormonism is Contrary to Biblical Christianity, and Ken Ham, Already Gone. So be thinking about it, marking your calendar, and talking to your friends about the idea of getting a group together for one evening or stretching it out over four meetings for the Worldview Weekend online rally, and people from all over the world can participate. And we love the fact that we have so many people from all over the world now working with us through streaming and radio, and it's really wonderful. In fact, I even told my computer guy the other day, I saw a picture with one of our conferences with a flag, American flag, and I emailed him a new picture, said, get that down. We don't want the American flag all over stuff because we are now really an international organization, and we don't want people in other countries to think that we're just this American-based organization pushing Americanism. We're not. We're really now an international organization. We've gone worldwide, and we're interested in biblical truth. And so we're trying to be sensitive to people in other countries and let you know that this is really a biblical-based organization. And while we appreciate the America and much of our history and have no problem with the American flag, we just want to make sure that we're letting folks know that this is really not just an American ministry. This is a worldwide ministry now, and we praise God for that. And that's one reason why we do the online rally, so we can get this Bible teaching out to people all over the world, because I'm not going to get on a plane and go overseas. All right, because I don't like to fly. Did it for many years, don't like doing it. Don't want to do it. It'd have to be extreme emergency to do that today. All right, let's get back to Dr. Whitcomb here. Dr. Whitcomb, before the break, I said maybe you could give us some examples of scientific evidence that the Earth is no older than 6,000 years, 10,000 years. Where do you come down exactly? What's the exact date or number of years you believe?
I think it's difficult to arrive at an exact date, but I say 8,000 or 9,000 perhaps, because there are a number of things in the Old Testament that happened over hundreds of years that are just mentioned briefly in terms of so-and-so begat so-and-so. Begat means to become the father or ancestor of the next named person. Now, when the Bible talks about one day or 2 days or the third or fourth day, like in Genesis 1, that is literally 24 hours. And that is the creationist view. How do you know the world was created so recently? Because the Genesis flood wiped out millions and billions of years of supposed evolutionism. Why? Because trillions of fossils were formed within 1 year of that global catastrophe that I, as a former evolutionist at Princeton University, believed required millions and millions of years to form. No. The Genesis flood, catastrophism, biblical catastrophism, is the key to unlock creation truth in Genesis 1. And I say thank you, Lord, for that basis upon which we know the world is only a very few thousand years old, not millions, not billions of years, because God's word is very clear on the strict creation time block of Genesis chapter 1.
So evidence that the Earth isn't that old. I mean, for the Earth to be millions of years old, if it were millions of years old, what would we be seeing? I mean, there'd be evidence of that. Whether or not, like, true or false. Someone said if the Earth was millions of years old, the oceans are getting saltier and saltier. They'd be so salty you could just about walk on them. Any truth to some of these claims?
It would all be dead. Why? The moon alone shows us that. It's because the moon is moving away about an inch and a half a year from the Earth. If you go back a million years, the moon would have been here, and it would have caused what catastrophes all over this world. And now, of course, if the moon disappeared completely, we'd also die. Why? Because oxygenation would end in the oceans. The currents, as we know, the tides oxygenate, stir up the ocean waters, and all marine creatures would die, and gradually would all die for lack of oxygen. You see, the world is designed in such a way that it's a very fragile, delicate combination of factors that keep us alive and functioning. And evolution, of course, is impossible. Nothing has ever evolved anywhere ever. As we see the complexity of living things, irreducibly complex things all over the world. I've had the privilege of writing a new book called Jesus Christ, Our Intelligent Designer, which shows how marvelously God designed the world, and the God who did it is named Jesus Christ the Lord, through whom all things were made, John 1:3.
Excellent. Okay, well, people are using Facebook, and they're emailing, so this is good. This is good. I'm glad you guys are using all the technology. So let me ask you one of the questions we have here from Facebook, and that is, can Satan read our mind or our thoughts?
Well, of course, he can read our minds. How do you know that? Well, listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 12. When Satan is finally cast out of heaven, in the middle of the tribulation period, it says that he has what? The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who does what? Who accuses them before our God day and night. In other words, he knows what we said, what we've done, and perhaps, it's hard to prove this, of course, what our thoughts are that he can bring to God night and day as a basis for demanding that we be cast out of God's kingdom, of God's presence forever. And I say that's an amazing thing. In the Old Testament as well, we see how Job was accused by Satan. But you see, this one thing is for sure. He doesn't have a mastery of our inner motives like the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, of course, groans with us with groanings which cannot be uttered as he intercedes for us. But there's something about us, the way we act, the way we think, the way we respond, that Satan can use night and day to accuse us. And thank God, the Lord Jesus intervenes for us. He intercedes for us. And he says, in effect, "Be gone, Satan. I paid the price for that person's eternal destiny with me in heaven." And
so
I say, thank you, Lord, that Jesus is my Savior and the intercessor at the right hand of God. And, of course, you know from the book of James that we can resist the devil, we humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God, and we can resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee from you. He is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful. He has limited abilities that somehow God tolerates. That's the amazing thing to me, that God tolerates him. But he completely defeated him judicially on the cross. Now is the prince of the world cast out. In other words, Satan has no secure destiny of taking over the world and the universe. And I say, thank you, God. Jesus wins. We read the end of the Bible. Are you ready? And Jesus wins.
Amen to that. Okay, so there's no evidence he can read our mind, but he certainly then can watch us, see how we're responding, and then use that to accuse the brethren.
Correct.
Okay, here's another one. Came in on Facebook. Last time Dr. John was on, you were discussing the virgin birth. You stated that Jesus received his humanity from Mary, and isn't the significance of the virgin birth that he did not receive the sin nature from a human, as that is how the sin nature is passed on? Romans 5:12, as in one man, Adam, all sinned. I think this is so important that it should be part of that discussion you had. Thanks, love it when Dr. John is on. Well, thank you, Sandy. Okay, that is very important because, you know, the Church of Rome teaches the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was without sin, yet that is not what the Bible said. All have sinned. So the Church of Rome really is denying original sin with Mary, but we see nowhere in the scripture where Mary was without sin. But the virgin birth, that was the whole idea of keeping that sin nature of Mary from getting to Jesus Christ, correct?
Right. Of course, Mary had a sin nature, and she admitted it. She said, I pray to God, my Savior. Well, obviously, she didn't have perfection, and it wasn't dependent on her. What really happened, according to Dr. Luke, who describes the virgin conception of Jesus, when he came to Mary, he explained that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and therefore what will happen? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Luke 1:35. Listen, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, talking to Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Come upon you, overshadow you. Now watch. And for that reason, because of the Holy Spirit's overruling, intervention, overshadowing. What's going to happen? For that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Now, Jesus, therefore, partook of the human nature that he received through Mary's ovum, because he's a permanent member of the human race from Adam, Abraham, David, all the way down. He's he's our kinsman redeemer, Hebrews 2. He died as our representative on the cross. He was a genuine member of the human race through Mary's genetic system that he inherited without the sin nature. It's because the Holy Spirit eliminated her sin nature but maintained her human nature that Jesus received his human nature. And so he's what? He is God-man. He has two natures, even though he's one person forever. And I say that is an amazing thing, that he is all his life on this earth for a third of a century, he was God-man. Two natures, one person forever, because of what the Holy Spirit did in the body of Mary.
All right, someone, let's open up our phone lines. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Some of you are already emailing questions for the next program, and we're forwarding those on right now, in fact, to Dr. Whitcomb's guy that puts them all into a format for us so we can get them to him. So you can still email us for next program 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, at info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. We'll go to the phone lines. We come back, 1-800-347-9829. Someone just said on Facebook, I'm too shy to call in, so thank you for offering the Facebook option. Well, you bet. 1-800-347-9829. Dr. Whitcomb, we'll ask this when we come back, because someone on Facebook says, Satan is not omnipresent, is he? He can only be at one place at one time. That's what I understand to be the case. We'll ask Dr. John that when we come back. We'll also let you know, as we will right now, don't forget about the fact that you can find him online. Dr. Whitcomb is not afraid of the technology at all. In fact, if you go to sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb and type in Barn Dollar, that's one word, Barn Dollar Lectureship, Lectureship Series, Barn Dollar Lectureship Series, you'll see a whole series there by Dr. Tommy Ice on this whole issue of what we talked about with the rapture and knocking down this idea that this was created by a Jesuit. All right, we'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Are you concerned about the decline of the American dollar? Are you looking for a way to preserve your purchasing power since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913? Your dollar today has the purchasing power of 4 cents. Your parents paid less for their first house than we do for an SUV today. That's what you call inflation. John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist, said the most popular way to implement socialism will be through the inflation of the currency. By doing this, we can steal the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing. Well, that's exactly what they're doing as they destroy the dollar. And as a result, gold and silver is going up. If you want to receive a free CD, a DVD, and two free reports on how to protect your assets with gold and silver, you can visit our website, worldviewtimes.com, and click on the banner for Swiss America, or you may call toll-free 1-877-864-1072. That's 1-877-864-1072. Welcome back to the program. Some of you are really quite excited about the idea of us getting a Worldview Weekend channel where you can actually just watch your Situation Room on your TV through something like Roku. I guess there's something Google TV as well, but I think Roku is tied into that, it looks like. So I think if we do one, we'd be able to tie them all together. But someone just said, it'd be great to be able to watch, you know, all of the Situation Room videos on my TV rather than having to huddle around a teeny computer screen. Well, that's exactly right, and that's one reason why we're looking at that new technology, because once you buy this little device, I think for like $79, that's it. You know, if you're a member of the Situation Room, you'll just be able to go in there and start watching this stuff right on your regular television. And so that's pretty exciting. We're also going to put up, like I said, if we can get this done, and I think we can, we'll make it where you can actually go to the worldviewtube.com right on your computer so that you can watch free video clips. You know, we put out like 15, 20-minute segments of our one-hour DVDs where you can watch, you know, 15, 20 minutes of it at no cost. And we're always trying to offer stuff for free. For somebody who says, well, I really can't afford Situation Room, well, we're always trying to offer stuff for free. Video clips, columns. This radio show is available for free for 14 days online. We don't want to limit anyone from being able to get it due to resources. But if you do join the Situation Room, you do get to have access to stuff unlimited anytime, all the time, over $6,000 in resources and growing. We believe it's a great resource library for you, and it helps us do what we do here and keeping these 9 servers running and putting the show together and all that goes on with running Worldview Weekend. So we appreciate your checking into that, situationroom.net, situationroom.net. All right, let's ask this one question and go to the phone lines because they're full. Satan can only be in one place at one time, right, Dr. John?
That's right. Only God is omnipresent everywhere at the same time in the whole universe. Only God is omniscient, knows everything about everything. And he's omnipotent. He can do anything. Satan is a creature. Now, he is deeply frustrated by that. He desperately wants, Isaiah 14 tells us, to be like God. He desperately wants to be worshipped. That's what he told Jesus in the temptation. Just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. But he is infinitely lower than God. And I'm so thankful to know that he is a mere creature. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't know a lot about what's going on around this world, or he isn't, because he has, in my opinion at least 200 million demons following him, serving him. They can be around the world in different places representing him. But, of course, Satan had to come to the presence of God in Job chapter 1 to accuse Job. And he gave his report of where he had been here and there in various places. That's an amazing chapter, Job chapter 1.
Another question, we'll go to the phone lines. Someone asking on Facebook, is the sin nature passed on only through the male, not the female? The reference, Romans 5:12, therefore just as sin through one man entered the world and death through sin, and thus spread to all men because all sinned. So I guess the question is the sin nature passed on through the father or through the mother or both?
I would say both. Because,
I would too.
You remember Psalm 51 where David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, I received a sin nature not from God at my conception, but through my mother. Now, of course, we also received our personhood, our physical, mental, and human characteristics, heart, mind, soul, conscience, everything, from our Father also. So many passages tell us that in the Bible. So we received everything we are from our mother and our father. And I say that's an amazing thing, because we trace back our origin to whom? To Adam and Eve at the beginning of the world. And it's amazing how delicate and fragile this connection is between us and God and Adam. And I say, Lord, help me to see that only Adam and Eve at the beginning of their existence were sinless, the only sinless beings this world has ever known, human beings this world has ever known except Jesus, was Adam and Eve before their fall.
Let's go to line one. Tom, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Brandon and Dr. Whitcomb, nice to talk to you. I got a question. I want to kind of know what doctrine you may be wrong on, because none of us are infallible, and it happened that back in the church time that Galileo and Copernicus proved that what the church believed was false, and the church didn't believe that the earth the sun moved around the earth because the Bible taught it, but because Plato and Aristotle taught it, and that had been imposed on the scripture. And I just heard you talk about the imnes and the omnes, which are Greek philosophical ideas, and Jesus wasn't in all places at all times, yet he was God. Jesus didn't know everything, so he was still God, though, because he didn't know the day and the hour. And see, these are Greek philosophical ideas that are not inherent in God's sovereignty, or not a sovereignty, but in God's deity.
All right, let me ask, that's a good question. Go ahead, Dr. John.
Yes, I mean, it's obvious from Philippians 2, isn't it, that Jesus in his incarnation, becoming a permanent member of the human race through virgin conception, set aside temporarily the independent exercise of attributes of greatness. In other words, while he was here for 33 years, he didn't know everything about everything. You're right. Why not? Because he wasn't God? No, but because he was in the days of his flesh, the days of his self-imposed limitation. Read Philippians chapter 2 carefully there. He didn't set aside his deity, which includes all those attributes, but he set aside what? Temporarily, the independent exercise of those. He asked the Father what's going to happen here and there. He couldn't be in more places than more than one place at the same time. He was not omnipotent. He said, the works that I do, my Father enables me to do. But, of course, the minute he was resurrected from the dead, he now is, what, exercising all those attributes, and he's no longer independent of those or dependent upon the Father. He can exercise them himself directly. That's an amazing thing about what he set aside during his incarnation for those 33 years.
Let's go to line two. Brad, welcome to the program. Go right ahead, Brad.
Hi. I'm calling about that question about the age of the earth. Since the Bible is correct and it should be our ultimate standard, I think we should just believe it, and it doesn't give any room for gaps in the genealogies of those patriarchs from Adam through Abraham. It gives the age of the older man at the time of the birth of the next man.
Okay, let me have Dr. John respond real quick. Dr. John, go right ahead. Music's starting, but go right ahead.
Yes, this is a complex question and not a very significant one, frankly. We know that the world is very recent and fresh and new in creation. But in the genealogies, for instance, in Matthew chapter 1, we have 14 names, 14 and 14. But Matthew deliberately leaves out three names. Now, I know that Genesis 5 and Genesis 11 have a slightly different formula. But I have a number of reasons, if you're interested in this complex question, that I can share with you some other time, some other way. But yes, you're very right. The Bible is very clear on minimal time lapses.
All right, let's pick this up next week. His website, WhitcombMinistries.org. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it, and one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, We invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you.